Hello, and welcome to the Podcast of Steel. Here, I share news, reviews, my adventures, interviews, and more. You can always expect some Superman content from this show, but I'm a lover of all things geeky, so you never know what you're going to get. Now, let's leap into action with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel. It is time for another episode of the Podcast of Steel. And Derek is my special guest today. Derek, welcome to the show, sir.
Luke, thank you for having me on your show.
Now we've spoken a lot before. It's always an absolute joy. It never goes correctly, which is what I like about it.
I do too. We'll put it out there. We're besties right now, right?
I think so. We are. I mean, say internet bestie is a term now. I don't like it. We're just besties.
No.
The thing about
the only distance between us is the water. The internet is not the distance.
And that sucks. And that is there's a double-edged sword when it comes to the internet. It's a wonderful place and you make these wonderful friends, but normally they're on the other side of the world. But when we get together like this, the distance doesn't feel as far. And I'm excited to have you on my show today to talk all about you, your projects over the years, what you've been up to. We're going to talk a little about Superman, the Christopher Reeve story.
It's going to be a short episode, Luke.
Right. If I start crying again, people are going to think this is some sort of shtick that I do online.
Oh, man.
And trust me, I am not a good enough actor for that.
I will tear up if we start talking about the film because that was monumental.
We'll do that towards the end then. But please, for the people that don't know who you are, which is just outrageously rude, please introduce yourself to the watchers and the listeners, Derek.
Yes, I'm happy to be addressing your people. My name is Derek Russell. I host Startville's House of L at smallvillepodcast.com. We are the longest running, depending on who you ask, we're the longest running Superman podcast on the internet, but we're the longest running Smallville podcast
since 2005.
In addition to many other myriad podcasts that have started as a result of that one way back when, including shows for Heroes and Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles and countless others and now Superman and Lois. But yes, we still talk Smallville because we love it. So yeah.
And it's impossible not to talk about Smallville and we will. I've got not difficult questions for you, but I just wanted to know more about where this passion came for Smallville.
Sure.
Because as you know, I've shared this story many times. I got into Superman because of Smallville. It was on one fateful day. I watched it. I loved the storyline. But when the season finished, I wanted to learn more about these characters. So I started reading Superman comics. And from that, this crazy world was born, much like Krypton imploded. My world did the same with Superman. Yeah. How did your love for this show come about, Derek?
I watched from the beginning. I've been a lifelong Superman fan. I'm a newspaper reporter by trade. So that obviously was born out of, a love for journalism, but a love for Lois Lane. But I joke that I started being a writer when I started playing with Superman action figures, because I started making my own stories and, as you do with toys as a child and oh, look, we crossed over with the Ninja Turtles and things of that nature.
Crossover.
My earliest pajamas were a pair of Superman pajamas. I've been obsessed since I could say the word Superman. He has been a constant in my life in all forms of media, comics, TV, film. So when Smallville premiered in 2001, I was there watching, just weeks after we had such a tragedy here in the United States, and we were all captivated by that news. It was nice. It was a very nice deterrent from that. Less than a month later, when Smallville premiered, to actually be able to enjoy something and not think about how just weird things were at the time. Just from the beginning, and that was in high school, and then flash forward to college in a town called Starkville, as we watched Smallville, and we were in a town called Starkville. My roommates and I, we watched every time it was on. We would sometimes have 20 people over.
Oh, I love
when we would cook out. Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum called their event Smallville Nights. We were the original Smallville Nights
because we were copyright. What happened
yeah,
there?
we were. I mean, we were having 15, 20 people over one night a week, and grilling out and watching the episode. And you know, wow. We would often, you know, we had a rule. Of course, it was easier not to have phones then out then, but we had a rule: you had to be quiet during Smallville. You could talk during the commercial breaks, but during Smallville, you had to be quiet, which is asking a lot for, you know, 20 college guys.
Yes.
Back then. But we'd watch it, and then often after it was over with, the three of us would watch again and then probably record that same night, watch it twice back to back and then record an episode. But yeah, it really got started just because we wanted to skip class. We wanted to talk about the show, and we were not excited about going to classes. We were more excited about this new medium of podcasting that nobody had really tapped into yet for things like we were trying to do it for. After shows and stuff like that weren't a thing yet. So we tried our hand at it, and we liked it. So we just kept doing it. For better or worse, all these years later, we're still doing it.
But that's it. You are still doing it. That's your love for journalism, talking about things that bring you joy, talking about this show that's made you so happy over the years. And it's led on to some fantastic experiences that we will get to shortly. But what was it you think about this show, rather than it being about Superman and this fantastic subject? What was it about this show at the time that really just reached out to you?
I liked a modern take on it. I think forget how old I was when Lois and Clark premiered. Was that 93, 94? So I was a good bit younger, and that was originally geared toward a more adult audience, a more romantic type moonlighting scenario between Lois and Clark, and you know, it had a woman as a showrunner. That was a new thing that didn't happen a lot. And it charted new territory, and I loved it, but I was a lot of it was flying over my head at a young age. I was born in 85. So, I was still pretty young when that premiered, and, but watched every episode. Remember where I was sitting the night that the show premiered, and, you know, Clark stopped the bus with his hand from hitting that elderly senior citizen in the street, and all of those moments I vividly remember. But Smallville, I was on that same journey, like in high school. Like I was right in line with where Clark and Chloe and Lana and Pete were all were, age wise. Well, you know, the age they were portraying, not the
yeah. Clark's a good looking 30-year-old boy.
So I also intrigued me that watching a modern take where, you know, I forget the statistic, but like the three most popular or most recognizable images in the world are the Christian cross, I think the Elvis Presley's face, and the Superman shield. Is that, I think it's something like that.
It's about that. Sounds about right.
And I come from Elvis's hometown. So, you know, I'm chalking off like two thirds.
Two out of three there. You're doing okay.
Yeah.
You're doing okay.
And I think the idea of it being a modern take, but this is a world that doesn't, you know, if you showed somebody the Superman logo in this world, they wouldn't know what that was. Like, that intrigued me because it is just such an iconic piece of pop culture in our history. But I just really liked the dichotomy that they were going for. I loved the idea of Clark and Lex being friends younger, I wouldn't say as kids, but obviously Lex being six or so years older than Clark was on the show. But just the idea of seeing what would become with them, and, you know, no way of knowing in 2001 what we would eventually get to a decade later if we ever made it that far. This was the WB. It was, you know, Dawson's Creek and Buffy. It wasn't Superman related. That was a weird thing. So any morsel they ever gave us of anything Superman was just huge. Watching it live as it premiered. So yeah, I mean, it was that's what it was for me, though, is just the idea of watching this young Superman come into his own. And I loved the way Tom played it, that he didn't really know a whole lot about Superman, so he was kind of learning things as Clark learned them, and that used that to his craft. And I thought it was an exceptionally well done show, and you know, obviously went through a lot of changes over the course of a decade, but didn't stop my love for it at all.
But that's what I love. I mean, it's a show that went on for 10 years. That is such a rarity. I mean, we get soaps here in the UK, shows like EastEnders, Coronation Street, and Emmerdale. Words that you've never probably heard before.
No, I know EastEnders. I know, you know, a lot of people, UK actors, get their start on EastEnders. I think a few
made it into Smallville as well, actually. I mean,
Really?
When Kelly Brook, who was Lex's girl, she was more of a glamour model here in the UK. I'm not sure she was in any soap shows, but I mean, I know a few of your soap shows. So I know, have you got daily shows out there?
So, oh, yeah. Days of Our Lives, that's
still going, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, over here back in the day, again, this is what happens when we talk. We just start drifting off on many different tangents. There was an Australian soap opera called Neighbours and Home and Away. Mm-hmm. That was on UK TV for decades. Yeah. That's how we're sort of, and I mean, it's only just finished now, I believe. But to have a show go on for 10 years about Superman, and you think surely there can't be that many more stories to be told. They did spread it out, I feel, very well over the 10 years. There were some episodes that probably could have been forgotten about, or perhaps some scenes or moments left on the cutting room floor, but we take the good and we take the bad. As Superman fans, we need to take every little crumb that gets sent our way. Mm-hmm. For you, what was it like? I know for me it was an emotional moment, but when we finally got that season 10 finale, when it all ended, what did that feel like for you?
That was big. After everybody left at the end of 7, every season felt like a gift at that point. You know, we would get into 8 and we were like, okay, is this going to be it? And we get into 9 and we're like, is this going to be it? And then, you know, finally they announced 10 was going to be the final season, which was good. It didn't need to, we were getting to the point where it was like, okay, he's going to have to fly or he's too much Superman at this point to not be Superman. There needs to be closure here.
Please. Yes.
Yeah. It was a very emotional ramp up to the end. And I was fortunate to get to, my daughter was born. My oldest daughter was born just 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks before the finale aired, and you know, first child, that should have taken precedent. It was like, I'll get to you in a minute. The show I've been watching for 6 years.
Just,
I need you.
He's on the rooftop. Just stop talking. Stop.
I will feed you in a minute. No, I actually went and my co-host Steve Glosson, we watched together. Went over to Georgia to visit with him, and to watch the finale in person for a show that we had been talking about for so long. And at that point, Steve and I only had been in each other's presence once or twice, maybe.
Wow.
So that was not a thing I wanted to watch by myself, because that was very much that would have been a very much, okay, now what moment when that went off and I had nobody to look around and then nobody's around and I've got nobody to talk to.
That's it. And I mean, obviously there's people in our lives that understand that we do have what would some people call us as a healthy obsession with a Superman. We don't always have them directly to sort of, as soon as a TV show gets released or news gets released, we don't have that person to turn to, as you say. So to be able to watch that finale with someone that clearly means so much to you was a very special moment. And I mean,
it was good, but yeah, it was weird. It was, you know, especially we had been talking about it for 5 years at that point doing the podcast, and it was just an odd thing to get to the end and be like, okay, now what? Like,
what do we do now?
We've ramped up for this so much, and now it's over. I look back on the finale fondly. A lot of people were not happy with the finale. There's things I would have done different had I, you know, been pinning it, but that's neither here nor there. I, for what it is, I love it, and I think it holds up. I think some people felt a little cheated after a decade of watching, but I think they did what they set out to do. So that's all you can ask for at the end of the day. With series finales are hard to, are a hard thing to nail.
Especially when, you know, it's the younger life of Superman. It's not Superboy. It's not anything to do with that. It's Superman before he found his purpose, in a way.
Right.
It's him growing up, learning lots and lots of mistakes, learning about life, learning about love, learning about how many cars you can get through as a teenager. And it's got all that in there over 10 seasons. And for a show to be able to go on for that long is impressive.
Yes.
And it's definitely...
And to skip networks, to network hop from one to the other. And
I mean, that's something we never really get here in the UK. It's happened a few times where a TV show might go to a different station. Back in those days of Smallville, I mean, classic English TV, if you haven't got any sort of streaming services, it's five channels, five channels here. For quite a few decades, we only had four. BBC One, BBC Two, ITV3, and Channel 4, which is very well named. But back in the day, Smallville was on a channel called E4, which was just one of these like almost like satellite TV channels. And it was never guaranteed that we would get another season here once it ended.
Yeah.
And this was way before TV was streaming or you could go online and find downloadable files. So I was grateful for every single episode. And every time you got a cliffhanger ending to a season, it was painful. Yeah. And that's when I would reach out to friends and say, what do I do now? Give me some Superman comic books to read. Give me some stories about these characters that I'm falling in love for. And that's what Smallville did for me. It gave me that appreciation for the character. And I think that's what Smallville did for the world of television. You know, we wouldn't have all these TV shows these days if we didn't have Smallville.
Right.
I mean, yes, as you said, we had Lois and Clark. We had other superhero TV shows, but nothing weekly like Smallville.
No. And I mean, it predates the MCU. It, you know, it really stood out on its own a full 7 years before anything like that started. Yeah, there were other, you know, Spider-Man and X-Men films and stuff like that at the time. But, I mean, it was charting new territory on TV. We joke now that if it premiered today, you know, on Netflix or the Max or something, we would hear Jor-El at the end of the pilot. That's something we didn't get for two full seasons.
Yes, very good point, yeah.
It would be so expedited, and you'd wait a year and a half between seasons and completely forget what happens in between. I mean, I can't imagine. There's nothing now that I watch. There's nothing I've ever watched that I've been as tuned into as Smallville. I mean, I have other shows that I love, but I can't imagine watching something like Smallville now in this day and age and having to wait. Three, 4 months was grueling enough in the day.
Torture. I mean, I was a big fan of Smallville. I was also, at that time, I was a huge fan of Lost as well.
Yes.
That was a show that I would be watching every week with friends, and we would watch it and then talk about it and then watch it again, listen out for weird little reversible messages that we could try and decipher.
Right.
But it shows like that we don't really get anymore. I mean, you get shows like Bridgerton on Netflix and Sex Education where you do want to come back and see how these characters have developed. But it's normally 18 months down the line or, you know.
I mean, the closest thing I can equate to like the Lost phenomenon now would be Stranger Things, maybe. That's probably as close as you could get.
I mean, that's doing well. I think it's, on this seventh season now or sixth season?
I think this is the last one.
And so close to it. There is a phenomenon about that show. It's a well-written show. I've enjoyed it. I mean, I do like when you can connect with a TV show, and Stranger Things has done that. But when it comes to Smallville, you knew sort of, we've only got like a few more months left and we're going to get new seasons. We've got more stuff coming. But
in any you know, any grain of information we got, we just held on to. Picture any 7-second commercial. Marketing back then was not, you know, what it is today.
No, not at all.
And,
I mean,
it was also, you know, marketing for the attractive people. It was that was the marketing, was the attractive people.
Are we not talking about the slow-mo credits yet with the fan? No, yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah. We'll get to that. But it was a fantastic series. And I love the fact that I grew up with it, much like yourself did. And we saw these characters change and evolve, storylines get a little bit more exciting. And it was just a fantastic emotional series. That combined with the music, my musical taste, I think, pretty much came from this show. And it was just a great show. And I mean, we could talk about this for hours, and we probably will, because that's what happens when you and I start to chat.
It's a good problem.
It's a good problem. It's a fantastic problem. This, for me, is therapy. Recently, though, you had a very, very exciting weekend to do with Smallville. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I myself, and if you're familiar enough with the show, you probably know when I say Krypton site, KryptonSite.com, the original source for Smallville on the internet. Craig Byrne, who runs that website, and I met, obviously, through the show way back when, 20 years ago now. And when Creation Entertainment, who hosts conventions for shows like Supernatural and Battlestar Galactica and The Boys and several different properties they handle, announced that they were going to do a Smallville, when they reached out to Craig and I about involvement, because a lot of people online knew us or remembered us from back in the day. And we were excited to go to Jersey a few weeks ago and be on stage with the cast and introduce them and tell old war stories. And yeah, it was a little surreal, though. I mean, I've had the chance, I got to write for DC towards the end of the series on several projects. And then I wrote for the official Smallville magazine. So between that and the podcast and going to Comic-Con and being in the press room, I've interviewed them before and things like that, but not, you know, not being on that level of being the moderator or the person to bring them out or introduce them. So getting to be backstage with them and discuss things and, you know, long forgotten things that just were dormant in my mind and came back up, memories talking with them. It was a very surreal time for Craig and I both.
But I loved it. I was fortunate enough to be in your direct messages, and you were sort of messaging me before and after the panels, and you were having these like pinch me moments. It was much like yourself. We're a little bit kindred spirits. I feel that neither of us take compliments very well.
No.
That's just the way we are.
If you're complimenting me, you're lying.
But I get that. But we talked about this before and after the event. And for me to see you on that stage, to have this full circle moment for somebody that's been there from the beginning, not as a journalist or a broadcast. This is when you're going to start getting uncomfortable, by the way.
I've been uncomfortable.
It was a full circle moment for you to be acknowledged for the dedication and love that you have for this show, not for you being a podcast host or journalist. Yes, those elements did come into it, but it's the fact that from the get-go, from episode one, you were a fan of this show. So for you to be recognized for that and to be on that stage with those people that have brought so much happiness to so many people over the years, it was right that you were there for that.
Well, yes, I appreciate that.
I'm sure you would have been in the audience, which was a fantastic place to be as well, because again, you're an audience. You love this show as well, but you were there to help tell this show's story, something that you've been doing for decades. And to see the photographs that you were sending back with the cast, which was extremely exciting for me to see. It was like, I know that guy. He's on stage with Lois Lane. Look at him. And it was a beautiful moment. What, even though it's probably incredibly hard to do, from that weekend, what was a highlight for you?
Oh, wow. From start to finish. I've joked, you know, I showed up, I got there Friday night to the hotel/convention center, got out of the Uber, walked in the place, and then I didn't walk out of the place until Monday morning when I got back in the Uber to go to the airport. So I was feet on the ground the entire time. To pick a highlight would be like picking a favorite kid. I have a favorite kid among my three, but you know,
they can figure out which one it is.
I think Sunday morning there was a panel that was exclusively for the VIP ticket holders. That was the entire cast. It was the only panel the entire weekend that was the full cast together. And the CEO of the company wanted to introduce that one, which I was fine with. I was just, you know, happy to be there.
Yeah.
But I was backstage standing with everybody at one time, before we went out on stage, helping pass out microphones and stuff. And that was odd because I'd been with all of them at some point or another throughout the entire weekend, or duos of them or what have you. Cause at some point, you know, one had been on the stage or two or in back and forth, but they're running from photo ops to autograph sessions. And they're never in one place the whole time. So to have been standing among every one of them, all seven of them that were there, which was Tom Welling, Michael Rosenbaum, Kristen Crook, Erica Durance, Aaron Ashmore, John Glover, and Laura Vandervoort.
Sorry, standing... just dropping some more names there. Sorry, Derek.
I wasn't trying to drop names. Anybody's wondering who was there. That's okay. See, now
but
now
that's, I'm that's no, that's, but I. It's fantastic because it's just so. They're names that we've known for years.
Right.
They're the names that we've seen come up on the credits, sometimes spelled incorrectly, but we've seen those names on the credits and you're there with like what you would class as like, you know, the Justice League of Smallville.
And yeah.
The big names, the big hitters. And you were there for that. And that just makes me so happy for you because I know that clearly this show meant so much to you and still does. And you were there for that. I really hope that this celebration of Smallville continues to happen again and again.
It sounds like it's going to. They've already announced next year, which is going to be in Chicago in September. So if you are interested in that, if you're interested in finding more about that, follow Creation Entertainment at Creation ENT, I believe on Twitter/X and Instagram. And TikTok, I think, and follow their updates for
the links for that will all be below in this. So September, so I've got just under a year to start planning on what to wear. I mean, I've already got some plaid on. I've got one of your t-shirts on.
I was going to say you're looking quite good in the shoe shirt there.
I'm doing already, but I mean, just seeing your photographs from that weekend and hearing it direct from you, I can remember sort of giving you a bit of a pep talk before the weekend. I kept on checking in to make sure that you were eating, drinking, staying alert, making sure that you were where you needed to be. But
I think you need to be my management. I don't need management, but well, I know I do need management, but just like on a personal level, not a professional level. But fine. I think
if that's what you need me to be, I will be there for it. And of course, I will be nothing but professional around the whole cast and the whole organization. But it would be a fantastic privilege. I mean, I've, been to Chicago before, spent about combined 12 hours in O'Hare Airport waiting to get down to a Metropolis for the Superman celebration. Oh, so so Chicago is clearly calling my name.
Well, see, here's what you do. You just come in June for the premiere and then you just stay.
Okay. Less people that are in charge of visas, if you are listening, we will do this the proper way.
We've already got that worked out, right? Oh,
I think we have talked about it. If we can get the visas sorted out, we'll be fine.
Right. We're good. But you can stay here in the studio. You could just come stay here and you've already got a place to stay. And
just need a sleeping bag. Something that we will talk about on another podcast is the fact that we will be going to Bucky's as well. That little tidbit will be saved for another episode before it goes completely off the rails again. But yeah, next year is going to be a busy, busy year for Superman. Mm. We are all eating very, very well right now, whether it be a Smallville celebration, the new film, Superman and Lois, comics, toys, everything apart from video games is making a comeback.
You know, I started to text you this last night in talking about traveling and things I know you're preparing for and hoping to get to do. And I was like, I haven't budgeted merchandise into the year into all these things because I'm like, there's going to be untold
There
amounts.
was a leaked list of toys over the last few days
All
that you've seen yet. And now the fact that just last week it was officially announced that crypto was going to be a part of it. I'm thinking, how dare you, James Gunn? And you know they're going to be releasing official dog merchandise now.
Oh, so yeah. I remember how much money I blew the months leading up to Man of Steel.
Yes.
In 2013. So I can't imagine what this is going to
pocketbook. I can remember there was Superman Returns. There was a little diorama that came with exploding bullets off a wall behind Brandon. I bought 5 of those. I don't know why. Only one of them's out of the packet. But yeah, this film, there's going to be a lot of merchandise for it. I think James Gunn learned that when it came to all the merchandise that came out of Groot and Rocket from the Guardians films. But I'm just happy because it means more Superman stuff, more things for me to see in public, easier Christmas lists to write, easier things for birthdays. Just makes it easier for me to collect more things. But yeah, it's going to be a good year next year. Combine that with a very exciting Smallville trip that could happen. And yeah, it's things that, again, Superman makes us happy. Smallville makes us happy. Talking about silly things makes us happy, which is why we are doing very well right now. Now, a film that not really made us happy, but certainly made us emotional, is the Superman documentary, the Christopher Reeve story. Now, as we mentioned before, the UK is only getting that film on the 1st of November.
Which is insane to me.
And there's still more countries around the world that are getting released. It certainly wasn't an international release, but I'm so glad that the right people got behind it and they requested more dates. They requested it to be released again, because it meant more people got to see it. You got to see it. You shared your initial thoughts with me. It made me even more excited to see this beautiful film. I have seen it now, so there are no spoilers as such. But what was that film like for you the first time you saw it?
So, it much like you, it did not play in my hometown, which is not uncommon for an event film to show up. It was that that 2-day event that originally premiered before they announced that it was going wide. And then it didn't even come here when it played wide. So I did have to travel, drove about an hour to go see it, and knew what I would be walking into on an emotional level to a degree.
Yes.
I remember where I was when I got the news that Chris had passed away, like I, you know, and how emotional that made me 20 years ago. We know the story, or we know the version of the story that's been told. Obviously, this is far more on a deeper and more intimate level than anything we've ever seen come out of the Reeve family, up until this point. But, and I would love to know, and hopefully we'll get the chance to find out, and maybe you even know some of this after getting the chance to talk to them, but I would love to know what within the film changed once Warner Brothers became involved in it, in the production process, because they came in late and bought it, obviously, and put it under the DC label, the first film under the DC label, which I feel is very fitting.
Oh, seeing that DC Studios animation for the first time, and then into the most perfect montage of clips that we've all seen before, but in a new way with a new score, was incredibly exciting for me and the whole theater that I was in. But yes, it was a fantastic way to start that film.
And really, once it starts, they just kind of drop you into the story. They don't. You would expect it to go through his life and do what a documentary normally would or a biopic would normally do. And I mean, within 5 minutes, we're already at the accident. It felt like, or definitely within the first 10 minutes, where he's already been injured. And the stories that came out of that, the way it was depicted, and that's why I say that about, I wonder what changed when Warner Brothers got involved, but the depiction of of Chris and the kryptonite being used to represent the injury and all of that, that broke me. I mean, that completely wrecked me in the theater. Because I thought the whole time, I was like, I'm going to be a big boy. I'm not going to get emotional about this. Everything's going to go fine. I'm not going to tear up. And of course, during that opening montage, before, you know, the accident has even been discussed, seeing all four films montaged with a resounding version of the Williams theme, I was enthralled and already tearing up at that. I was like, this doesn't count.
This one's a freebie.
This is something different. This is not a quate. Yeah, I was not prepared. As much as I thought I was going to be prepared, I was not prepared for how emotionally drained I was walking out of that. And I remember texting you when I walked out and was like, whenever you see this, you're not going to be ready
just
for what.
Brace yourself. And I think I was expecting that. I mean, we've read his books, we've watched the documentaries, we know how the accident happened and what happened afterwards, because we've been there for it. The way that this film tells that story, I mentioned this today when I was speaking to somebody else about it, it's like we were told the story for the first time by just a different account.
Yeah.
And combine that with the home videos, which were so kindly given over to the directors and said, look, here's our home videos, do what you want with that.
Yeah,
they did such a beautiful job. And as you said, yeah, it's interesting to find out what Warner Brothers potentially didn't want in there, and what they did want in there.
Yeah,
but as you said, I love seeing the cloud moments and seeing that majestic statue of Christopher Reeve, but then they they use that to show the impact of the accident, and they use that to show that kryptonite within. I was like, wow, that's a deep way of, you know, not only describing to those how the accident happened, but as a Superman fan, you're thinking, that's the kryptonite. That's you know, right. That's what got him. But yeah,
I felt the audible gasp, like when it started bleeding out, and I was like, oh my God, they're using kryptonite. I can't recover from that. Break me completely.
And then
one thing I did find interesting, I don't know, I'm talking over you now, and that's rude, fine. But I'll forget it if I don't say it.
Go.
If I ever knew this, I forgot it. But Will Reeve in the documentary refers to how dumb the injury is, because it's like, half a centimeter to the left, you know, would have been in either direction would have been a completely different story.
Yeah.
And if I knew that, I guess I forgot it. I mean, it feels like something that, duh, I knew, but it was also like, I just, way they described how stupid the injury was, like just befuddled them.
Just a little bit to one way. And it would have been instant.
Yeah.
To the other side, it would have been an embarrassing photograph.
Mm-hmm.
And you just think, wow. And for him, I mean, the moments with all the children were powerfully told, but I was breaking each time I saw Will start to speak. Somebody that comes from a world of journalism that knows the right things to say on the spot in front of the camera to keep composure. There were a few times in the documentary when he was tearing up and started crying, which was just another reason for me to break. It was... I know when I watch those scenes again, I'm going to start crying again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely a powerful film told in a beautiful way. And I'm excited to trauma dump with new people when this film comes out in the UK. I've been speaking with friends around the world that have seen it and then messaged me saying, we need to talk about this film. I said, yes, we can. Let me watch it. And then we will talk. We will talk about when we laughed and when we cried and when we gasped and how we feel when we left the theater. It was just an experience.
You talk about seeing me up on the stage among the Smallville people and saying, that's my friend. That's the way I felt seeing you with the Reeve children and the directors and getting to experience that. I mean, you really got to experience that film firsthand in a way that most audiences would not get to.
And I'm greatly thankful for that. It's definitely given me a stronger connection to the film and in a way to Superman. But yeah, left here Monday morning. No words. I'm getting gibberish. Sunday morning. It was very early. There were no trains into London from where I am because there were lots of roadworks. So got on a coach at about 5:30 in the morning to catch a train from somewhere else to go and watch this amazing film. And I was already on edge. I was excited. I was anxious about what I would be seeing. I tried staying away from the trailers because I didn't want to see too much. And I'd been speaking with Ian and Peter, the directors, a little bit online, saying, I'm really excited to see this film. We're coming to London. And kindly, through Warner Brothers UK, we were invited to a screening and then a round table event where we got to speak with Peter and Ian about the film. They told us a few things they requested we didn't repeat. Some of it was like, you know, this is just for you. But they clearly had so much passion for this film, so much love for this story. And you can see they were so proud that it was finally going to be out there in the world. But as you know, whenever I go to events, I like to send thank you cards to people, something that I've always done. So I had a thank you card for Ian and for Peter. And there was just something inside me that thought, maybe the Reeve family might come to the UK. It's a long way from America. Maybe we might see one or two. So I had a thank you card just in case for the Reeve family. And after we finished the round table, there was a door down a corridor that I saw open up. And I saw the back of Will. And I just knew. I was like...
You saw the back of Superman. I mean, like...
Dude, the height... It's the posture put me to shame. Try standing next to any member of that family and feel like.
I know I'm hunched over right now doing this.
They make you stand up, chest out. But yeah, all three of the children were there, and we got to have a little, a little therapy session. We got to say thank you for the film. We got to learn more about it, but. I couldn't imagine a world where I lost a family member, but I had to also share that loss with the rest of the world.
That
wouldn't be me being greedy in grief, but it would be I would probably find it uncomfortable knowing that other people are knowing what I'm going through in a way. And for them to have trust in the directors and the producers to share some of their most raw moments and also those home video footage. It was something I really needed to thank them for. And we had some photographs and I managed not to look like a crying fool. I'm very happy with myself for that. And as we were leaving, I was able to hand them Matt my thank you card. And so my deed was done. For if they don't read it, they don't read it. It's fine. They've got the card. They can do with it as they wish. Yeah. I just needed that, you know, connection to Christopher Reeve's children, for goodness sake.
I do not blame you one bit. I would have done the same thing.
It's not necessarily like a selfie or sign this DVD.
No.
This is just something I want to thank you three for sharing this film with the world. And went home.
Sharing your dad with the world.
That is it. And I love that. And from that day, we came home on the train. Again, very emotional, extremely emotional day. And then the next day we were invited back to sort of a charity drinks evening to celebrate the release of the film. I felt I was in a shirt and tie. Not many people get me in a shirt and tie, Derek. But the Superman tie was on, Superman pin, as much subtle Superman merch as possible.
I was going to say, you say that, like it's hard to get you in a shirt and suit and tie, but you look the part when you wear it. You look like you were born for it.
It was, it doesn't happen very often, but for that, I thought, if I'm going to call myself a Superman ambassador, this event needs a shirt and tie. And everybody else was extremely well dressed up. They had the premiere at the IMAX screen at Waterloo, which is a huge theater. And then they came over for this charity event where we got to sort of hang out with the Reeve family, which is still like, again, now I'm name dropping. That's what but I mean, it was a wonderful event.
I'll pick that up. My turn now.
But when it comes to travel, I'm not sure about how you feel with it. I get so anxious when it comes to travel, especially getting to London. I would never, ever get the last train home. I would much rather be there 2 hours early. And I was due to leave at 10 o'clock that night, and the event was going to go on till 11. My last train was at 11:30 from London Waterloo. I stayed as late as I possibly could because I didn't want to leave. I wanted to be in this room where you could just feel the love for this family, for Christopher, for Superman. I was like, I can't be the first person to leave this party. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the night, when it was time for me to run away back to Waterloo, I had a quick chat with Matt and says, oh, thanks for everything. I'm going now. And he turned around and said, thank you very much for the card. We all read it together. And I was like, okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
So now I'm going to stay.
And I did. And I finally got to Waterloo, got the wrong train, ended up in the middle of nowhere, having to get a very expensive Uber back to my bed. But I didn't care.
But you have a story.
I've got that memory that will be with me forever. And I have that moment now. And it was a fantastic moment. And as I came home and recorded the podcast, I said, I can't have a guest on this episode because I'm going to cry. So I sat down and just had a therapy session and blubbed and blubbed and blubbed about why this film means so much. But it means so much to so many. And that's why I was so happy that you were going to come on and talk today about this film. Why do you think the world needs this film right now, Derek?
Well, I don't know on that side of the world how things are, but over here, a week away from not a great date, or maybe a great date, who can say at this point? I like a little bit of hope. I don't know if you could tell that from everything, you know.
I get the idea. Yeah, me.
You've got the American crammed in version of your nice, polite.
It's all in version. There.
Yours is very proper and Englishman, and mine's very just cram it in. It's fine.
That. For those that are watching on YouTube.
Yeah.
Everything behind this laptop, there is a complete mess of boxes whiteboards and cardboard cutouts and a special little box that is coming to you soon, which we will talk about soon. But yeah.
I mean, I could share some things, you know, I've got.
See, I know you do, which is just, I just love it all. Just a little cot there for me. Just nice a little sleeping.
See,
just
that's
a little
that's sleeping your spot bag. Over there. That's your spot.
Next to the phone box, it has to be.
Yeah, clearly. Right over there. That phone box is for you. So there
I can,
you go.
I can fit in there. That's it. But yes, yeah. So the world needs a bit of hope right now.
Yeah, it does. And depending on how things go, we'll need even more hope. We're eating well as Superman fans right now, which is something we don't get to do very often. We're eating about as well as Batman fans usually get to dine,
which is fantastic.
Yeah, which is just uncommon. And it feels weird. It's like, what, this is, you know, biting the hand that feeds us. It's like, is this a trap? We've got, you know, we've personally, or like on a lower level, we've had all this Smallville stuff. I feel like a lot of people have found it in the last year or two. I don't know if that's a result of the pandemic and you know, it being available in HD for the first time. But, you know, more and more, I'm learning that a lot of people who weren't alive when it was on are now watching, which feels like a punch in the gut, are now watching it for the first time and seem to be loving it. So there's a lot of chatter about it online, and a lot of people listening to the podcast now that didn't listen 19 years ago when we started it. We're on the final season of Superman and Lois. Which is bittersweet,
yes,
because we now know that hope in another world that probably could have gone on for at least two or three more seasons, but that's neither here nor there. We now know that it is the final season. It was produced as the final season, so they're getting to tell their version of that ending of their story, whatever that may be. That's going to wrap up in December. We've got obviously next year on the horizon, which is promising to be the summer of Superman.
I like that.
And reports allegedly that the marketing, that it will dwarf the marketing of Barbie, which if you remember the marketing for Barbie was insane. So I can only imagine what
we're
going to
see.
Like.
And that's what really, really excites me. When in comparison, when Warner Brothers sort of saw what they did with Barbie and how much of an effect that had on the box office. And I like that, don't get me wrong. I want the film to do well, but I want Superman to come out on top. I want the world in Superman t-shirts again. I want the world just going crazy for Superman. Yeah. And the summer of Superman, I like that. I like the sound of that.
I do too, very much so. So when it was announced that Warner Brother had gotten distribution rights for the Christopher Reeve story, and that it was going to be under that DC label, it got me even more excited for it. Because I think whether you grew up, obviously Superman transcends Christopher Reeve. There's no doubt about that. He may be your end-all be-all Superman, but he's not somebody else. And that's the whole beauty of these characters, is they're timeless and their legacy impacts you in different ways. And just because you might have grown up watching X actor play him instead of Y actor, that's what's great. But for a lot of us, that's what we grew up with in a time where Superman fans weren't eating at all.
Fasting.
And then some. I was born in 85. So the first film theatrically for me was Quest for Peace in 87. Three films had already been released by that point. And apart from animated series and stuff, we just didn't have a lot to go off of. So I watched Super Friends. I watched Ruby Spears. I watched a lot of those as a kid. But the thing I rewatched most were the Christopher Reeve films. I don't know if that's true for you or not, but that's, I know, more, you got more of a fan as you got older, but I know you had seen them, obviously.
Yes.
And for me, that's what I, especially Superman 3 and 4, I guess because they were a little bit more cartoony, but I watched them religiously as a child. So that is Superman to me. Whether or not, he's my favorite or anything like that, you could debate for another day. But, I mean, Christopher Reeve was Superman.
Yes.
And always will be Superman. But so, and I know the struggles he had with the weight of the character and, obviously the way he felt about the later films and trying to inject his own passions and politics into the fourth outing, and obviously didn't come out the way he wanted it to, and that was dissatisfying for him, as it is for me now, to think about what he wanted to make happen versus what ultimately ended up happening. So it's very much a like I said, I remember where he was, where I was when I heard he died. I remember where I was when I heard he was injured. I can remember sitting on my couch at home and my mom coming in and telling me that Christopher Reeve had been in an accident. And I was a kid, and that's, what was that, 95? Was that? Yeah. So I was 10. Superman's been hurt. Like, that's just.
And that's obviously what every single newspaper went with.
Yeah.
And because you would, but ugh.
Yeah. So I think it's important now to tell that story because we are getting further and further removed from it, which makes me feel old to say, but the fact that he's been gone now 20 years is incredulous. But we're hopefully turning a page into what Superman is now going to be on the national stage that he hasn't been for some time, which is a disservice to the character. I hope that he's finally about to get his due on the big screen that he hasn't had since. I will say not since 1978. I mean, I don't feel that any outing since has been as impactful as that. I mean, it was the original superhero movie. I mean, there would not have been, the MCU would not exist without Superman the movie. I mean, everything can be tied back to Richard Donner and the Salkinds making this film. So as a new era of DC films begins, I felt it was very important to pay homage to where they came from.
Yes.
So this being the first iteration of that was impactful for me as a fan.
And I mean, going back to that DC Studios logo, I remember hearing the news about that coming out of San Diego Comic-Con, and then I saw it. I saw those chains bust, and you think with air, something's happening, something exciting. And as you said, to have this film be the first time we get to see that DC Studios logo connected with this film, with this icon. As you so well put it, Superman goes is going to be bigger than the person that plays the role. I will always be grateful for somebody else in 20 years' time, when we're still talking about Superman, who will continue telling Superman's story, to be a part of that tapestry, as I put it. There's never going to be an end. We've had the beginning. We've had so many different interpretations over the years. But there seems to be a real buzz about James Gunn's Superman film. And I'm just looking forward to the future. And as a Superman fan, we've not always had that luxury. We've not we've hoped for something coming in the future. We've had rumors, we've had hearsay, and but yeah, we
I joke that hope is the best representation for the character because as fans, we've had to do that so much,
Yes.
just to get a morsel,
Yeah.
more often than not. And how many times have we been here before? It's 2006.
We've had this continuously, and we will for years to come. But that'll be a part of it. That'll be a part that we'll drag out those memories and those traumatic experience when we talk about certain video games and certain comics and certain storylines and certain episodes. But we will always have Superman, much as we will always hold on to Smallville. And going back to Smallville, now you're going to be coming back on the show soon. We're going to be talking more stuff about Superman, definitely about the Superman film and Smallville. But to where it all began, Smallville. I've had this to my side here. Now this copy, this was given to me many years ago when I was at the Superman celebration. This is the pilot script signed by some of the beautiful cast.
I spot many signatures there. One
There's a
that I used to have to forge a good bit,
Really, we won't say who in case you get in
No,
trouble.
we won't. But
But
anybody that's a long-time shoe listener will know what I'm referring
there we
to.
go. But
I
how
used to
much?
be in the employment of somebody on that page.
Really? Okay. When the camera's off, we're going to start talking. But anyway, this is the script from episode one. How many times do you think you've watched that pilot?
That is a good question. I mean, certainly double digits, if not triple.
Okay, so
That being said, go easy with
yeah.
whatever you're about to do with me because I don't know if I mentioned this. I do have three children and I'm closing in on 40, so my mind is not that great anymore.
I was thinking maybe just to give you a couple of lines to see if you could guess the next line, but I'm
Oh,
thinking that's
okay. I could maybe. That'll be a fun game. That's better
okay.
than trivia.
Okay, right then. Page 12. Internal. Kitchen. Day. Clark is guzzling milk from a carton when Martha enters. She shakes her head, hands him a glass. What does Clark say next?
I have no idea.
See, I couldn't remember this either. This could be, on the cutting room floor. But Clark says, "Tastes better out of the
Out of the
carton."
bottle.
There you go. Martha, where did you learn your manners?
I was
Clark.
raised in a barn, on a
Farm.
farm.
That was odd. You got that close.
Sorry.
This could go either way. This could really go either way. So let's. I had a few pages noted down. See, they don't. They reading a script. I've never been good with reading scripts. So
It can
anyway,
throw
here.
you if you haven't done it before a whole lot.
This is
I'll
what
bet you
happens, though.
won't
I'll
get
just get distracted and
that. So this is, yeah,
I'll just start reading it.
you're yeah, that's the problem with it. You
That's
just
what
get
happens is.
distracted to it.
Page 41. Clark backs away from the craft. Clark, so I'm a freak. What does Jonathan say next?
Yeah, but you're our freak. No,
I want to see the episode.
You're not a freak. You're my son. No,
Clark, you're a gift. That's what he says.
You're a gift.
See, this was harsh for me. I knew I should have planned this for you.
It's okay. No, it's fine. I fully admit. Look, I did trivia at the convention, and I was.
How did that go? What was the most sort of controversial question you asked?
I got something thrown at me for one of them, and I can't remember what. So it was yes, no trivia. It had to be basically true or false.
Okay.
But the contestants stood up in front of the stage with they had a yes paddle and a no paddle, and so they had to answer. And I got a little jerkish toward the end because we got to the point where there was just like two people and they were both getting it. And I was like, guys, we gotta end this. Come on. So I do think I pulled out one of them was going to be. I didn't have to pull this one out because I knew it would get groans, but I did ask I guess I stated because it was true or false. I said Phil Collins' song "I Grieve" played over Jonathan Kent's funeral in season 5 Reckoning, and it's Peter Gabriel. It's not Phil Collins, yeah. So I was expecting that to get some groans, but there were a few. You know, I asked Jor-El visited Smallville twice in the years 2009 and 1961, whether or not that was true or false, and somebody said no, and it was true, and somebody said no, and. And I said, no, it happened twice in two different episodes. And he was like, but it was a clone. And I was like, well, okay.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yes. But both events happened for said clone. So
yes. It still counts. But that's the thing. But when it comes to trivia questions and things like that, it's difficult. I've hosted a few quizzes at local cons in the past, and it never goes well. You kind of just have to pick the cutest kid in the audience as the winner. You can't, because that's not going to end in a physical fight.
Yeah, no, it was taxing on me to remember some of these things. Now, back in the day, my one party trick was I could sit here from pilot to finale and do every episode in order without missing a beat. I could do all 218, just rattle them off.
Really?
And now it's like, brr, you know, I sit here and I'm sitting here and I'll be like, what's the first letter of the next one?
No, next episode. I'm not going to tell you when, but when you're on the next podcast, you're going to hear a klaxon, and that's going to be your clue, your cue to rattle them all off.
So
as you can.
I got to learn. I got to pilot metaphor.
No. Do sex missioner. There's always one of those in there. Every TV show gets that title somewhere. But that is something that we will definitely do on the next one because I just love hearing you talk about this show and the passion that you have for it. And yeah, we're going to have more guests from the world of shoe on the show as well that I'm really looking forward for. It's wonderful sort of, we've known each other for a while online now, but it's been over the last couple of months when our friendship has blossomed and people that haven't listened to the shoe, I apologize when I was on your episode last because it absolutely went to hell in a handbasket.
Well, see, no, that's what they're used to because I don't know if you've met Steve, but that's kind of what the show has become. And I think, you know, people that still listen to us to this day that have listened for nearly two decades now, they've grown accustomed to the, okay, they're going to talk about Smallville for 10 minutes and then they're going to go off on some random tangent for 3 or 4 Whoopsies. Minutes. And then they're going to eventually weave their way back into Smallville. And a lot of people didn't like that back in the day. They called us the ESPN of Smallville, the way we did dumb things and commercials and stuff like that. But that was what one magazine branded us as, was the ESPN of Smallville, which I took as a compliment.
Yeah, was that the 2.5 review? Was that?
That was one? Different. That wasn't sci-fi.
There's another one.
But why? You were in good company. You know you feel at home on Starkville's Houseville if you're able to offshoot and break myself and Steve at the same time.
It was a very proud moment. Before this episode began, I was surprised with a wonderful Steve as he came in to say hello before we hit record, and it was a shame that he had to go. It means I got to spend some more time with you. But I feel when you two combine together, it's going to be absolute bedlam. And there's going to be a podcast soon with Jess Steve. Now, don't get jealous about that.
I'll try not.
I know he's already trying to mix the bowl up and get us all agitated. But I'm itching to have you both on soon to talk more about everything but Superman, because I'm sure that can happen as well.
That is. I'm here for that. Yeah, any chance to talk to you, I'm good for.
And I do love that. I do love that about us as well. So, where can people find you online? Where can they listen to your wonderful show?
Smallvillepodcast.com is where you can find us. Of course, we're on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen, and have been for, like I said, almost two decades now. Startville's House of L is the name of the show. The acronym is SHU. So if you're a longtime listener, that's what you know us as, SHU. But we're on TikTok and Instagram at Smallville Podcast, and then on Twitter at SHU Smallville, SHOE Smallville. So
all those links will be down below. Please go and follow these wonderful gang of people who continue their love for Smallville and Superman, and in fact, a part of Superman's legacy. You've been doing this now for over two decades. You're a part of the world of Superman. There is no escaping that. So, there's no getting away. You are locked in.
Pigeonholed.
You're locked in tight, sir.
So, you know, I will say, I think we met each other at a good time, because I won't speak for you, but just for me, it's ignited reignited a passion to talk about this character in all forms again. Because yeah, after almost 20 years, it can feel a little stale, and it's like, is anybody even listening to this anymore? And I know I can see downloads. I know that people are, not like it was back in the day, but you know, we still have people that have been listening to us all this time, and it's fun to interact with them. But I'm always like, is it worth the trouble? And then I meet somebody like you, and I'm like, it's absolutely worth it, every minute of it, because then I get to meet somebody like Luke, who is kind of the, not quite bizarro, but you know, the other side of the coin, the other side of the world of this, and getting to see how it the character has impacted you and opened up so many doors for you, that it makes me passionate all over again for it.
You flipped that uncomfortable card back onto me. So bravo to you. That's the journalist in you. Well done.
I can make things uncomfortable. That's the only, if I've got anything going for me, it's that. That's my,
what we've got to look forward to when Steve joins the podcast on the next episode. But goodness gracious me. Derek, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for being such a wonderful pal. This is a friendship that's going to go on for many, many years to come. We need to start prepping for the next Smallville celebration. That's something that would be just an absolute,
we're seeing Superman together next year, one way or the other.
Oh,
we've got to be seated next to each other.
That's it. I'll let you know, I am a knee grabber. When things
that's
get
fine. That's fine. Good.
I'm glad to know that.
Cry together.
Please. Derek, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Luke.
And I'll speak to you soon.